whom we love, whom we honor, whom we serve, and whom we preach. All of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. You remember the Father opened the heavens at the Jordan and on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the Lord Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." There is no hope for anyone outside of Christ. Christ is our hope. Christ is our peace. Christ is our life. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our redemption. Christ is our holiness. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. So we preach Christ crucified. Unto those who are foolish and unsaved, it is foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God. As the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth." Now we'd like to have you study with us. If you have your Bible, we'll open at the 10th chapter of Luke. There's a very interesting statement there in the 10th of Luke. We are always glad to hear from our radio friends. The address is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011, Wilsonab, Chicago. I want to thank the many friends who've written in for our various publications, the books that we publish, 146 altogether. We send them out each and every week all over the country. If you'd like a list of our publications, write in. If you want the very special offer that we're making of three of our best books that retail for about 90 cents, we're offering for 50 cents in this, for this broadcast friend, you write to 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Now the little folder is ready, the one we spoke of in our last broadcast. It has the picture on the back of President Truman holding the Atlantic Treaty and said, "This is it, the hope of the world." On the back we have the cross of Calvary and David's throne, and we say, "This is it, the hope of the world." There's no hope of the world in any of man's plans that leaves out the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and there'll be no peace on earth until that time. Now just remember this, we've said so many times in the Bible, there are two kingdoms of God. There is one kingdom of God that is spiritual and not political. There's another kingdom of God that is both spiritual and political. The spiritual kingdom of God is now on earth while Jesus Christ is in heaven. The spiritual political kingdom of God will not be here until Jesus Christ comes back and will be on this earth as the king. As long as Satan is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, unchecked and unchained, except that God restrains him in certain ways, we will have no universal peace. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and Satan, the prince of this world, is dethroned, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we have this little folder. It's called Hoping for the Best, showing the folly of man's plans without Jesus Christ. They're one penny each. Please add the postage if you send in. You can get 10 or 12 or 15 of them. The people took them by handful this morning at the morning meeting. And it has the picture of Mr. Truman taken right from the paper and the peace treaty being held in his hand, saying, "This is the hope of the world." Right to 1011, Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Now in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, you remember, in those first chapter verses in the 10th chapter, we read where the 70 disciples went out and came back rejoicing because the demons were subject to their authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, you remember, "Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven." Then he said, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, you and I have read that. I wonder if we've just let it impress us. My, that's a startling statement. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You remember the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, the 14th verse, speaking of Satan, before he became Satan. The word Satan is from the Hebrew Satan, which means the adversary. The word devil is from the Greek diabola, which means to throw at or to thrust at, as the accuser of the brethren. So Satan was not Satan, and he was not the devil when he was created. You remember in the book of Jude, it said that even Michael would not bring railing accusation against Satan when he contended for the body of Moses. But he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." I'll never forget the time I heard an evangelist give a very intelligent message showing the difference between the Satan of the Scriptures and the devil of tradition, and his subject was his satanic majesty. But here in the 14th verse of the 28th of Ezekiel, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground." And then in the 12th, also in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" The word Lucifer has the thought of being a light bearer. "How art thou fallen?" And Satan said, "I will, I will, I will." And God says, "You will not." Satan was not satisfied with the place he had as the highest of all of God's creatures. He wanted the place of the Creator. He wanted to be worshipped. He still wants to be worshipped. You remember, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ on the mount there, when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, Satan showed him to Christ and said, "If you'll get down and worship me, I'll give them all to thee." And, you know, he said, "I have that power and authority." Now, the Lord didn't challenge that statement. He didn't contradict or dispute. He knew that Satan was the prince of this world, and if you look about today and see the condition of the world, you ought to know that Satan is the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of the sea. The whole world lieth in the lap of the evil one, or in the lap of wickedness, in the lap of the devil, as we read in 1 John 5:19. Now then, he offered the Lord Jesus Christ all the kingdoms in a moment of time. He was the prince of this world. And when a believer goes out and preaches the gospel, and the unbeliever is inclined to receive the gospel message, we read in 2 Corinthians 4, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom Satan, the god of this age, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan does not want anyone to be saved. You know, hell, or the lake of fire, rather, is prepared for the devil and his angels. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Christ said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Now, there are only two places you can go. You can either go to heaven with Christ, or you can go to the lake of fire with Satan. There's no other place. And the lake of fire was not prepared for man, but if man is not prepared to go where Christ is, then, of course, he must go where Satan is. If you want to be prepared to go where Christ is, God has the way. He said Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Christ suffered for sin once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We which were afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we're told in the second chapter of Hebrews there, 14th verse, that Jesus Christ became a partaker of flesh and blood, that he might through death destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. And then in the first epistle of John, it says that the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Well, the works of the devil have been going on ever since he appeared and through his subtly beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. And through that one great temptation and great sin of Adam and Eve, by one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin. And today, we're under universal law of sin and death, and Satan is still at large. because he is still the God of this age, he's still the prince of this world. Now he was cast as profane out of the mountain of God. And you remember in the case of Job, when God said to the sons of God came to worship God, and Satan also came, and the Lord said, Satan, where hast thou been? He said, I have been to and fro, walking up and down on the face of the earth. As we read in 1 Peter, that Satan is our adversary. He's like a roaring lion, and he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And you see the condition of this world. When we think of 900 million people in the heathen lands who are worshiping at the shrines of God that they've made with their own hands, images of different creatures, we think of that, and then we think of the condition in the world today after two world wars, and then think of the folly of men getting together without Jesus Christ and expecting to bring peace on this earth. And when we think of the midst of all of it, the church divided into 350 different sects and denominations, at the time when the church is more needed with a united front than any time in the history of the world today, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, we're told in the Bible. Who's responsible for all of this? Why, Satan. And he's the one, we're told, who is the one who has control, a strong man who has control of the house, as we read in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now he was cast as profane out of the mountain of God. He's the prince of this world, but remember this, he is also the ruler of world darkness in the heaven, as we're told in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we're to stand against the tricks of the devil. We're to take the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. We're to have the shield of faith, our loins girt about with the truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to take the sword of the Spirit with which we're to fight, which is the Word of God. And then we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he not only conquered death, he not only destroyed him that had the power of death, the devil, but after he was on this earth for several weeks, his feet were on the Mount of Olives, and he left there, and then he went up into heaven. And we read in the first chapter of Ephesians that when he did, he ascended far above all principalities and powers. In the second chapter of Colossians, we're told that he spoiled principalities and powers. These great powers in the heavenlies. Now remember, Satan has under him a great host of his servants in the heavenlies. But someday we read in the 12th chapter of Revelation what is going to take place. Notice this. It says in the 9th verse, there was war in the 7th verse, the 12th chapter, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now Satan is not yet in hell. If he was in hell, we'd have a better time here in Chicago. We wouldn't have Skid Row. We wouldn't have infidelity and adultery and all the ungodliness. But Satan is here right on this earth. His course is down, down, down. He was cast out of the mountain of God. Then he went into the heavens. He's going to be cast down to the earth. Then he's going to the bottomless pit. And last of all, he's going to the lake of fire, as we read in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now never discount his power. Remember, he is powerful. And we have the armor of God.